Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Duty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, September 22nd, and I'm excited about tonight's show. Tonight we have with us celebrity makeup artist Dee Dee Kelly, celebrity hairstylist and makeup artist Chris Gies, and celebrity wardrobe stylist Monique Loren Peters. But before we speak with our guest tonight, I want to remind you that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399, and I'm going to pass the mic over to my sister Denise, who has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. Tonight, I just want to briefly tell you all, well, it's not going to be quite brief, but I want to tell you all about some events coming up via PBA. Be a part of the largest, most inclusive beauty event in North America. PBA Beauty Week, hosted by CosmoPro from North America, this event incorporates every sector of the beauty industry for the ultimate experience in networking, education, and professional growth opportunities. This beauty features the North American Hairstyling Awards. PBA's West Coast Region Salon Summit, PBA's Beacon Student Program, and the City of Hope. PBA Beauty Week is produced by the Professional Beauty Association and is hosted by CosmoPro from North America. To learn more about PBA Beauty Week, you can go to probeauty.org/beautyweek. The North American Hairstyling Awards. The North American Hairstyling Awards is the industry's preeminent photographic beauty competition. NAHA honors the professional salon industry's most talented and cutting-edge artists in 14 district categories of excellence. NAHA is part of PBA Beauty Week. NAHA is produced by the Professional Beauty Association and can only be found at PBA Beauty Week. PBA is a leading producer of industry trade events and competitions. Let me tell you a little bit about the North American Hairstyling Awards that takes place next year on July 13th. It takes place at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, and the entry deadline is February 5th of next year. Some of the categories for the North American Hairstyling Awards are... let's see. Can we eliminate a little bit of the background?
Yeah, you get a little bit of feedback.
Okay. Some of the categories for the North American Hairstyling Awards are avant-garde, contemporary classic, editorial stylist of the year, hair color, hairstylist of the year, makeup artist of the year, master hairstylist of the year, men's hairstylist of the year, newcomer stylist of the year, salon school design of the year, salon master of business award, salon team of the year, student hairstylist of the year, and texture. So for more information on the North American Hairstyling Awards, you can go to probeauty.org/NAHA. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show Dee Dee Kelly, Chris Gies, and Monique Loren Peters. Welcome, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Glad that the three of you could join us tonight. Oh, you're welcome. I've been wanting to do a glam squad for a long time, and it's so hard to schedule everyone at the same time. But you guys seem like you're together all the time.
We are very often.
Yes. Let's start tonight's show by each of you introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about, you know, where you're from, how you got your start, and kind of what led you up to where you are right now.
Well, hey, this is Monique Lorenz. So excited to be here tonight. So glad you guys decided to have us. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I am a work stylist, and the journey has been amazing. It's actually something that I got into, obviously by happenstance, because it wasn't what I initially thought I was going to do. I was working on America's Next Model, truly enjoying where I was in casting, and had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with Tyra just in those interactions. And she was actually one of the first people to give me an opportunity to step out on face and trusted me with doing some photo shoots, trusted me with doing a few segments, and my career was born.
And where are you from?
Well, my family is originally from the islands of Aruba and Montserrat, and I spent a lot of time growing up in Miami as well as Boston. So now I'm here in L.A., and I've moved around quite a bit, so I feel like I've learned a little bit from each of those experiences.
Gotcha.
Hi, Christy. I'm a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, city of brotherly love. And I've been here in L.A. for 6 years, going on 7. And I actually have been fortunate enough to be working in the entertainment aspect of it right away. I moved here in January, and my first celebrity client was Omarosa the following February. I worked with her on the Image Awards, and it's just been nonstop ever since. I met the fabulous Dede Kelly through Omarosa, and once I met those two, the possibilities, opportunities, and windows have just been open, and God has really been blowing my mind.
Wow. Your turn, Dede.
And I am Dede Kelly, celebrity makeup artist living in Hollywood, who originally was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland.
Woo-hoo.
You girls know a little something about Baltimore, Maryland now, don't you?
Just a little bit.
We know something about them Ravens.
Hello? You talking about those champs that won today?
Yep.
So
if
my
I was a
career
sports
started,
fan, I would boo.
My career started, I used to model first. And I would walk the runways with my own face painted. So people would always ask me to do their makeup. And so I started doing proms and weddings and little things that built up to bigger things. Never thought I'd be a makeup artist, though. I always thought I was going to be a painter because I would draw paintings. I would paint on clothes and all that stuff. And never really thought I'd paint on faces. But here I am.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, did any of you ever think that you could have a career? Like I hear Dede saying, you know, she always thought she would be a painter. Did any of you ever thought, like when you were, I don't know at what age you decided that you wanted to be a makeup artist or a wardrobe stylist or a hairstylist, but did you ever think that you could have a career as one of those in entertainment?
I always thought there was a possibility for something in entertainment, but never was ever exposed to fashion in this way. So I think now over time, I think that the three of us, one of our commitments is being in a place of mentoring people that we're constantly meeting who have desires for this dream, because I wasn't exposed to this at a young age, so it was never something that I thought of. But I think that more people would enjoy this career if they were exposed to it. So just finding ways like this radio show and doing the panel that we did last week, exposing people to other parts of the industry that they may not necessarily see on television.
Right, absolutely.
Right. And for me, I've actually been a performer all my life in performing arts school and being a part of musicals and stage plays. So costumes, hair, and makeup has always been a part of, like, my everyday life. And as a mm-hmm. result, I started cutting my own hair because I always had somewhere to be, something to do, some show, and the barbershops would just be so crowded or just, I don't know, I just always had found myself doing it on my own, and then my friends would ask. So fast forward to undergrad, I was doing it all the time in undergrad for my friends, in the music department, for fashion shows, in the theater department, for stage plays and musicals. And still being an artist, I thought, wow, if I move to Hollywood to pursue a career as a performer, this would be an excellent way to make income opposed to being like a struggling waiter, struggling artist, bussing tables, or, you know, trying to do a whole lot of extra work just to pay my bills still try to work on an R&B album and, you know, audition and stuff. And, well, if I make connections with celebrities and producers, then I could get my foot in the door and get the ball rolling that way.
That was a good idea. So,
tell me about
did you, are you, are you, did, would you say you started off as a barber?
I did. Okay. I started off as a barber in Philly. And what's funny about it is that as soon as I tell someone that I cut and that I'm from Philly, they're like, oh, like, I know you got to be good because a haircut in Philly is, like, serious. Like, you could lose your life with a haircut in Philly.
Right.
So people immediately have confidence in my cutting skills.
Well, since you said that, let me ask the three of you, because neither one of you are originally from Hollywood. So let me ask you, Chris, I know that you are from Philly. You went to college at FAMU. And then I hear, you know, you guys are from other different places. Tell me a little bit about... I guess your craft. How has your craft grown since you've been in Hollywood? And I get the point that, you know, you all have worked on celebrity clients, but how has it grown or changed? I mean, do you feel like, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this part, but do you feel like moving to Hollywood has helped your career? I mean, well, not necessarily your career, but improving your craft. Do you feel like you could have stayed in Baltimore, DD, or you could have stayed in Philly, you know, you could have stayed in Miami or Boston and still be at the level where you are today?
No. I think the move to California was the best move because it also forces you to be on the top of your game because the market is so saturated.
Mm-hmm.
It forces you to stand out, you know, a little bit better than the other artists.
That's a good point.
Everywhere you go, every set, there's going to be guaranteed like 4 to 5 other makeup artists there. So it's always, you know, a little competition some kind of way. So it forces you to get better and better and better.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I feel it brings you in touch with other industry professionals that have tricks of the trade that you wouldn't necessarily use on a day-to-day basis, like at the Mac counter, you know, in the mall in any given city, or, you know, in a hair salon in your typical city, you know, you come in contact with tricks and those types that you read about in magazines, and you're like, oh, that's how they do that. So it really is like some magic behind what we do.
Right.
I think what people have to also understand is that by being here in Hollywood, there's an access to information you can have just because you're here. You're constantly forced to stay on top of current trends and be aware of what the trends are going to be coming. You're constantly educating yourself simply because of the circle that you're in, and you don't ever want to have a client who's behind what's happening now. You always want to be fresh, focused, and prepared for what's coming next. So I think being here in Hollywood gives you a unique access, like a Hollywood, a New York, that you may not have in some of the smaller markets.
Right. Good point. Now, we were talking before the show started, and I was just verifying with you all that
you all do a lot of work together. What would you all say make up, what would make up the perfect glam squad?
I think we found with each other that there's a certain listening that you have when you work with someone consistently. We're always in complete and total respect of each other's gifts. While we know we have one clear vision, there's an honesty in the work that we bring to each other because we're always, we tend to always work together. So I know what Dee's strong points are, what Chris's strong points are. They also know what mine are. So there's a value in that. There's a trust that happens in that place because they know that when I show up, there are certain things that are going to come with Mo. There are certain things that are going to come with Chris and certain skill sets that are going to come with Dee. So we never, ever feel like we're not at 100% because we know what the other person is bringing. And oftentimes when you're working with a new glam squad, there's a little bit of time that happens on set where you try to kind of figure it out and you want to gel. And we walk into a place held and ready to go.
Gotcha. Now that I've asked that question, let me ask you, Monique Loren, what do you think makes a great wardrobe stylist?
I'd have to say that one of the greatest things I can bring to my clients is my honesty and my caring about them. Because while I may know exactly what the hottest things are, I'm also going to know what my client can and cannot carry off. Because if I put her on, or him or her, on the red carpet, and they're not 100% comfortable in the look that I've put them in, I haven't done my job. Get out there, and they need to own that. That only comes by building a relationship with someone. You can't just walk in and say, okay, this is fabulous, and this is what you should wear, if that doesn't gel with what your personality is. So I'm always 100% committed to making sure that the look and their personality go hand in hand so that they feel great when they're on the carpet. I'm never going to lie to them and tell them they should wear something just because it's the latest thing, if the latest doesn't fit who they are.
And so what would you say to an aspiring wardrobe stylist, someone just trying to get into business, what would you say to them?
In terms of their relationship with their client or just in terms of their studying their craft?
And just in terms of, you know, say someone wants to get into it and they just don't know where to start, what to do, and how they need to present themselves.
I would say to them that you have to study your craft. There's so many ways of getting information in this day and age. It's on those search engines and finding out what's happening right now. It's utilizing social media and happening in the world around you. To this, expecting someone to teach you everything, you have to come with a skill set. So I think some of the most important things are knowing what kind of stylist you want to be. You know, do you want to do editorials? Do you want to do red in film? Because each thing very unique set. Once you figure out what it is you want to do, you can then figure out what skills you need to have so that you can do those things fully. So really taking the time to know if this is something for you. Because if you're not 100% passionate about this industry, this craft, being a wardrobe stylist, it's more than just buying pretty clothes. There's also a lot of that goes behind that and getting to know the person you're with and really understanding them. So it's more than just the pretty things. So really knowing and understanding, you know, what it is you want out of this business, area of this business you want to be in.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I get that question sometimes with makeup. Some people say, how do they know which area they want to be in if they haven't worked in that area and experienced it? What would you say to that? I mean, for someone who says, well, how am I going to know without actually working in that area?
I think I didn't work every area when I first, but I did know. Like I mean, you can go out and look at a magazine. You're the kind of stylist that wants to do an editorial where you have to pull only the highest brands and a lot of things in an editorial, or are you one who'd rather get to know someone and spend time with them and do a, you know, have more of a personal relationship with them? Those are things you know about yourself. So there's some I know who come on set, work with a size 2 model, pull only what's coming off the 2013 runway, and then when they leave it all behind. Someone else who wants to take time to get to know someone, or someone who's decided to want to go into TV and film because you enjoy research and you enjoy finding out what periods, you know, if a movie started in 1926 and it ended up in 1968, you enjoy researching those periods and you want to get to know what that looks like. So I think you can kind of come up with what you want. You just have to kind of know, look at it.
Right.
For myself, that I prefer the person, and I wanted to do the personal styling thing. I knew that, that I knew that. I also knew that I enjoy research, so I love styling. It's a completely different set of skills. I know that I don't necessarily love editorial. That's kind of a quick situation. But when a bunch of things on the page, someone tells you exactly what the concept is, and that's it. You can, you know, use some critical thinking and come up with what you enjoy.
Exactly. Exactly. So those of you who are tuning in by phone, if you have a question, the calling number is 914-803-4399. What about you, Chris? What do you think makes a great hairstylist?
First and foremost, aside from actually styling the hair, I think personality and character make a great hairstylist because we spend so much time with our clients, especially when you have salon clients that you see maybe every 2 weeks or, you know, if you have them for a weave, you see them every 2 to 3 months, but you're seeing them for 3 to 4 hours. You have to have personality to go along with the art of being able to style the hair. You know, some people are just great at installing weaves. You know, they might not be the best stylist, but they can do a heck of an install, and they have great personality to go with it. Or, you know, their expertise is precision cutting. So if you have an area of expertise, that's wonderful. But, again, you know, you have to be charismatic. You have to be energetic. I know myself, one thing my clients always prided me on was being the same person at all times. If you had a 6 a.m. appointment, if you had a 6 p.m. appointment, an 11 p.m. appointment, I was always the same, always giving the same energy because I enjoy what I do. And I love the fact that they've taken the time to be to seed into my life because if I don't work, I don't eat.
That's right. What would you say to an aspiring hairstylist? What kind of advice would you give them?
My advice to an aspiring hairstylist would be to shadow as many hairstylists as you can. You don't have to work, you know, even if you want to specialize in shortcuts or if you want to specialize in ethnic looks or natural hair, I would suggest you learn it all. You don't have to master it all, but definitely learn it all and take advantage of what you can learn from seasoned stylists, because everybody has their own tricks, and, you know, there are different ways to skin a cat as long as you can produce excellent quality product at the end. But, you know, people have different ways of doing it, and it's good to know different tricks and different ways to make it happen. Myself, when I was first starting out, I worked in a Caucasian salon for 2 years. I worked in Supercuts on the weekends, and that was to build my speed and just my relationship with different types of people, nationalities. It was all kinds of people in and out of Supercuts. And then I worked in a predominantly black salon, and that, you know, that could be late in the midnight hour. Sometimes I wouldn't leave the salon until 2, 3, 4 a.m. and have to be right back at 6 a.m. But it's not a big deal when you love what you do, and you're dedicated to it.
That's right. And Dee Dee, what makes a great makeup artist?
What makes a great makeup artist? That's a good question, because there's so many different styles to makeup. Thank you, Chris. There's so many different styles to makeup. You could be great at making people horrible looking. You can be great at making people beautiful. You could be great at aging people. For me, what makes a great beauty makeup artist is understanding skin, because skin is very important in beauty. You know, sometimes over oily skin may not come out so beautiful. People often say, I want that glowy look. But sometimes if you're really, really oily, it comes across as oily face and not glowy face.
Right.
So boiling down to knowing about skin is very important. Start with skin, and then you can move to, you know, blending, of course, and highlighting, contouring, what proper eyeshadow you should make with your lips. Should you make your lips dark and your eyes light, you know, just knowing all over beauty. And that takes studying, looking at the internet, mm-hmm. looking at pictures, looking at the magazine, see what the latest trend is, trying out new things on your friends. Use them as test dummies. They love it.
Yeah. What would you say to an aspiring makeup artist?
Aspiring makeup artists, find somebody that you really, really like their style of makeup, and follow them. If it's somebody on YouTube, if it's somebody on Instagram, if it's somebody on Facebook, like really try to study their style. Practice it if you think that's the kind of makeup you want to do. And then I really, really want to tell everybody the number one place to start doing makeup is at MAC Cosmetics. I always stress that. If you start working out at MAC, you'll learn so much about makeup. Because there's so many different type of people that come to the counter, you're going to be doing different kinds of makeup, all kind of ethnic skin, all kinds of age, people of, like people 90 years old to people 15 years old come to the MAC counter, as well as they come out with so many new products, and it gives you a chance to try so many new things. It's a constant way to practice. It's a constant way to build up your kit. It's a constant way to build up your clientele. So I always tell people, start at MAC.
Now I think MAC and Supercuts needs to give Didi and myself an endorsement.
I think so.
I agree. Speaking of your kit, Chris. Speaking of your kit, what's in your kit, Chris?
What's in my kit? I have two types of hair spray. I have about six pairs of shears. I have two types of razors. I have a feather razor, and I have a razor that's for the nape of the neck, which is great for, like, bob and precision cutting. I have a separate, like, little bag that has about 8 to 10 different types of curling irons, whether it's flat iron, different barrel irons that you plug in. And then I also have a stove, a ceramic stove for ceramic irons, and I have a full set of ceramic irons. Now, I don't have to use it all the time. I can choose which set I'll use pending, you know, the hair that I'm going to be doing. And then just some pomade, a little foaming wax. Foaming pomade. I have a gel, like for edges, a little edge brush, different types of combs. You always want to have several combs, because if you're working with a client and you drop one, you don't want to pick that up off the floor. That's unsanitary. So I have a favorite comb, a favorite type of comb. So I have about six of those in my kit just so that I don't run into the issue of dropping something or dropping one or losing it. And that's about it. A cape, a couple brushes. I have some clips and some crazy glue for last-minute situations. You know, dealing with red carpets and different appearances, you're often faced with different obstacles at the last minute, so you have to be quick on your feet.
Right. Monique Lorraine, what's in your wardrobe styling kit?
Oh, my gosh. Our kit is like a never-ending story. So I could have probably sit here for 20 minutes to tell you what's in this kit, but just basic starting out, you want a really great pair of fabric scissors. You want a sewing kit that has a ton of different, you know, threads. You want to have a sewing kit that has a ton of different needles. I have safety pins. I have hair pins. I have dry cleaner foam pads. It changes depending on the job.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really, there's so many things. And it's a really great place for for aspiring wardrobe styles to find out what they should have in their kit is to contact the Manhattan Wardrobe Supply, because they have great lists of beginning kits to look like, because there's so many products. So Manhattan Wardrobe Supply.
Manhattan Wardrobe Supply. And Dee Dee, what is the one thing that every makeup artist should have in their kit?
The one thing every makeup artist should have in their kit. A set of brushes.
Set of good brushes.
A set of good natural hair brushes. Those little sponge applicators will not do. Your finger will not do.
Glad you said that.
Right. You need to know how to blend and fluff.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think it's hard to have every type of foundation. It's very, very hard to carry like 39 gazillion types of foundation.
Right.
There's so many people with different types of skins out there. I've learned how to blend. Sometimes I have three basic colors for black people and, you know, maybe three basic colors for Caucasians. And if you know how to blend and look at the undertone, you can get that thing right with those three colors.
Basic color theory.
Yep. Back to the color theory, exactly.
What do you think about airbrushing? Do you airbrush?
I don't airbrush as much as I probably should. Because I just like the freehand. I just like because I'm a painter, I just like to paint. And sometimes airbrushing is cheating to me a little bit.
Right, right.
Sometimes it's necessary.
I agree.
It's necessary.
I agree.
I like the hand paint.
Yeah. I like the look that it gives. I like just the fact of knowing how to do it. But I'm not one of those artists who has to use the airbrush every time I do makeup. I prefer, you know, painting with your hands. But I think it is a great skill set to know. But, you know, you're right. In some ways, it feels like cheating a little bit.
Right. Go back, like, do the old school method. It's more rewarding to me to see you, you know, actually, after that canvas is done, you see that you can sit back and be like, I did that hand by hand. You know, old school. It makes you more appreciative of your work.
Absolutely. And I like that point that you made about the skin and beauty. And also, that also applies to film and television. The skin is essential. And just knowing how to prepare that skin for whatever camera you're using, whether it's, you know, a photographer or whether it's, a, you know, a film camera, the skin is so important. And I think that sometimes makeup artists get away from that sometimes, and they kind of forget. They're so busy they want to jump straight to the shadow and, you know, that kind of thing. They don't take time of getting that skin right. So I thought that was a very good point that you made a little earlier. Here, what I have for you guys. Now, when the three of you are working together, who normally, and I don't really mean like who's in charge or anything like that, but who normally takes the lead on determining the look? Now, I know each of you have your own, you know, separate respective positions, but, you know, I'm sure you're taking the direction from, let's say if it's a photo shoot, you're taking direction from, you know, the photographer. But do you guys, is it pretty much, do you wait on Monique Loren to see what she's going to do with the clothes first before you move into what you're going to do with the hair and makeup, or who kind of sets the tone?
Often, I think it works out with us specifically because we're so close as friends, that whoever kind of is the lead for booking the gig, they'll kind of be a little more in touch with the look for the gig, whether it's a photo shoot or a red carpet. And then we build from there, and we often get to discuss it prior to going into work. So we kind of know already. There have been times where, you know, we're blindfolded and we just have to make it happen, and we often start with whatever Monique is providing for wardrobe, and then we kind of build from there. It's kind of like if you know what shoes you want to wear for the day, then you can build your outfit from it. It kind of works, you know, like that. So if you know that she's going to wear this gold gown and, you know, it's off the shoulder, then Didi will, you know, lean towards maybe a smoky eye with a pop of gold, and I'll do a soft updo that's flowing but up and beautiful.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be wrong, but did you, Didi and Chris, did you guys form, I feel crazy saying, I'm not sure, did you guys form like maybe like an agency, not necessarily where you're getting work for other artists, but just kind of for yourselves? Did you all form like a group? Or?
We actually.
Okay.
If for those that follow us on Instagram or Twitter, you'll see that we have a hashtag, and it's called the Christie Group. And it's Chris G's, of course, myself, and Didi Kelly. And the way it's spelled, it's missing some letters from both names, so there's kind of a play on the word, and it's like Christie. And we had the idea of actually bringing in other talented artists to kind of be a part of what we have going on, because we can't be everywhere at all times. We've just not gotten to the place yet to kind of build that aspect of it. But it's coming. It's coming.
Well, speaking of that,
one day it'll be a full-out agency.
That would be nice. That really would.
Yeah,
let me ask you, for the three of you, how do you balance it all? Because it sounds like you all are always busy. How do you balance it all? And still try to have somewhat of a normal life.
We are all very, very strong in our faith. We spend just as much time as we spend working. We spend just as much time with each other on our knees and fellowshipping together. So it's more than just work for all of us. It is our spiritual relationship, and we are all very clear about and intentional about the time that we spend spiritually nurturing our souls. I think that's how we find that balance, because we can never truly get out of control when we are constantly each other's checks and balances system. I'm always going to make sure Didi's okay. Chris is always going to make sure I'm okay. And we're always going to make sure that we are walking fully in the purpose that's assigned for our life from a higher power than just the three of us. So it's never just about the work. It's about us as a whole being, us as whole people, and we nurture that spirit consistently.
Yes. Some days I look and I'm like, I don't understand how others who do what we do can make it happen without a support system. And I don't know that they, you know, might not have one or not, but I know that the system that we have really works.
Let me ask this.
And also I also want to add that the three of us are the only ones in our family out here in L.A. So we don't have that family out here to run to if we need it. So we consider each other family. So we have that basis for a family, a true family. And that helps.
Right.
I think people have to really understand your friends are the family that you make. And it is just as important as the ones you were born into.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you three this. Now, do you think that... And I know you all are close, but if you could just kind of take yourselves just kind of out of that closeness for a second to really hear what I'm saying and see where I'm coming from. But if the three of you were not in different fields, let's say two of you are makeup artists and Didi does pull you in, Chris, but let's just say, you know, your relationship as it is now was not the same. Do you think that you all would be that support system for one another if, let's just say, all three of you were makeup artists or all three of you were hairstylists?
I think
I do.
It's our other relationships, because I have a ton of friends who are wardrobe stylists. And when you come into something knowing that what is for you, you don't get into the petty competition, the nasty side of competition. It's more of, let's see who's going to come with a great shoot versus, oh, I want to see if I can get this and keep somebody else from getting it. So, like, I have several wardrobe stylists who are friends. So if I can't do a job, I'm absolutely going to say to one of them, hey, I can't do this. This is the concept. Do you think that you can get this done? I'll help you in any way I can, but do you think you'd be able to do this because I'm booked on something else? And I also have some great assistants, so if there's a time that I can't do a job, then I'm happy to say to them, hey, under my guidance, let's go out and do this. But I think we just, it's also the spirit you bring to it. If you don't have a negative spirit, whether we were all makeup artists, all hairstylists, you just don't have that level of negative competition.
Yeah.
Right, and we frequently remind each other, just like Mo said, what God has for us is for us. There's enough work out there for all of us, whether we're all on the same gig. Like I said, Dee Dee and I both as makeup artists, or if we're in our respective places. We have a friend, a very close friend, that we met through Dee Dee, who's a makeup artist, at Makeup Man Meg, follow him, Marcus Miller, and he's a phenomenal makeup artist, and he and Dee Dee worked at the Met Counter together, you know, years ago, and they just fostered a friendship and a relationship that, you know, pettiness and work competition, the friendship exceeds all of that.
Right. Well, I think you three are three special individuals, because for a lot of people, that's not the case. For a lot of people, they work with, and I could just tell you just from living here in Atlanta, that ain't the case with most folk. Whether there's a shortage of work or whether there's an overage of work, people are just not like that. Like, you know, I can find myself being the way that you all are, but there are so many other people around who are just not like that. And it's really sad, and it's really sickening in a way, too, because there is enough work out here for everybody, regardless.
I agree. One thing I did some years ago, before I met these beautiful young ladies, I prayed about the friends that I had in my life. I was specific with God, like, God, I want these type of friends in my life that are doing these type of things, that are not these type of people, i.e. backbiting, you know, dogmatic, so forth and so on. So as a result, meeting these ladies and having them as friends and then finding out what they do for a living, it just all meshed together.
And I think also, you teach people how to treat you. So if you walk into a space that's negative, but you're coming with nothing but love, light, and positivity, you have to be willing to be an atmosphere changer. So you walk into a space knowing that the gift that you have is going to change the atmosphere. So we just don't walk into any place with a negative spirit. That's negative when we get there, and that energy is negative when we get there. We're committed to knowing that because we are who we are, the atmosphere has to take a shift.
That's right. Let me ask you all, how has the beauty and image and fashion industries, in your opinion, changed since you all started your careers?
I think it's just constantly being recycled. Steps recycle, ideas recycled. I know that we often want to think that we're doing something new, but our predecessors have been doing this great for a very long time. I think that we just come on now and we put our own spin on it. We know that fashion is constantly being recycled with things that happened from our past, so we're just taking it and hopefully putting a spin on it that makes it modern for now. But it's a lot of the same, just revisited.
Who inspires you, Dee Dee?
Who inspires me?
That's what she asked you.
I probably shouldn't answer it as who inspires me, but what inspires me.
Okay.
What inspires me is Instagram. Instagram inspires me constantly because I follow so many makeup artists on Instagram. I'm like, wow, look at that eye. I take a snapshot, and I have a folder which I keep in my photos. It's called Beauty. So I refer back to those beautiful photos that I see on Instagram that I keep snapshots of to inspire myself to, you know, try something new or step outside of my box and, you know, see what the latest trend is. Like, Instagram inspires me consistently. Because that's the last thing I do before I go to sleep is look at all of my pictures on my
in your folder.
In the room. Right.
What about
sound like you need to get a life.
What inspires you?
Just joking. I'm actually inspired by conversations like this, the forum that we had this past Monday, my niece and my nephew and their friends, knowing that they see me and they see us on television, you know, they see our Instagrams and Twitter, and knowing that what the Lord has done in my life is being a positive impact, is having a positive impact on others, letting them know that they too can do it. Because I'm from North Philly. I'm from one of the roughest neighborhoods in North Philly. I went to the worst high school in North Philly, and I made it out. I made a choice. I made a decision to make it out. We didn't have a lot of money for me to go to college, but I decided I wanted to go, and I graduated. And, again, I made it out. So now my personal success, I feel like everyone's success, because if I can do it, you can do it, your cousin Boo Boo can do it, Bam Bam can do it, everybody can do it, and I don't go for excuses, because excuses are tools of incompetence, and I feel like, again, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because it was not easy, but I did accomplish it.
And what about you, Monique Lorenz?
I think I'm inspired by art. I mean, I love to spend a Saturday kind of walking through an art gallery. I'm inspired by, like, emerging designers. Spend a lot of time when I'm in New York at the Young Designers Expos in Soho on a Saturday. Just kind of the world around me, what people are doing, whether that's simple as the graffiti that I see splayed across the building. It's, oh, a teenager that I see walking down the street with, you know, his own spin on, you know, what some of the latest are. By the world around me, I'm constantly looking for inspiration in different things. Funny, I spend a lot of time in the hardware store, which is probably crazy. Architecture inspires, building inspires me. So it's the world around me in general.
Let me ask you, ask each of you, what would your ideal job be?
If it weren't for what we were doing now?
Or even it, even in the careers that you have right now? Something that
so
you
for
haven't
me, my
done
ideal
now.
Job is what I'm doing right now in this season. I'm developing a plus-size line called Monique Loren, and that is ultimately what I'd like myself doing at the end of this career, but during this career. So wish me luck 2014 that you'll see Monique Loren in the fall.
All right. Nice.
Didi.
I want to actually come out with a cosmetic line or a line of brushes. I haven't figured it out which one I want to do yet, because it's funny that so many celebrities or reality celebrities are coming out with lipsticks and lip glosses and eyeshadows that don't even know how to put any on. They have someone else put it on for them.
Right.
And they're coming out with their own lines, and people, you know, these companies are supporting them and putting, and I'm like, wow, I really, you know, I really understand lip gloss and lipstick, and I appreciate, I mean, not that they don't appreciate it either, but I want to see my own line. I want to see, you know, my products on the shelves, but, you know, trying to come up with something that hasn't already been done is very hard.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Chris?
Well, mine, unlike the ladies, as I gave you a brief synopsis of my history, would be to be traveling around the world singing, performing every night, opening for people, or headlining my own tour, and just having songs on movies and just a whole gamut of being an R&B recording artist. Now, through that, it would then be to have a chain of hair salons, like six hair salons around the country, that really provided the highest, most excellent service that one could imagine. Oftentimes, Caucasian salons around the country are like immaculate, you know, the design, the furniture, the layout. And unfortunately, you know, it's not necessarily the case for African-American salons or other. So I just want to raise the bar in that respect when it relates back to beauty.
So you said six salons. What cities would you want them to be in?
New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, L.A., and Miami.
And so when you're traveling the world, you want Dee Dee to be with you grooming, doing your, you know, facial grooming, and you want Monique Lorraine to be following you, correct?
Dee Dee and Monique have already done photo shoots for my music, for my website, for my music, my single cover, my album artwork. So, yeah, we already on top of it.
All right. You already got
already
that
on top of it. Oh, yes. And Monique pulled me out my box because Monique pulled me out the box, put me in some things that I would not typically wear on my own, even as an artist. But I let her do her job. You know, I respect her as a friend and a colleague. So I let her do her job. And I looked amazing, I must say.
All right. So what's next for the three of you?
Well, it's funny you say that. We met a young lady who happens to live right next door to me. She's from Detroit, and she had her own magazine in Detroit that she did almost everything herself. She wrote the articles. She did the makeup, took some of the pictures, like everything she did herself. And she moved to California and kind of dropped her dream because she got married here. And she really doesn't know anybody. And me and her just happened to talk in the hallway. And we're going to have a meeting next week and help her to bring that magazine back to life.
Nice.
What's her magazine?
It's called MASH. MASH. And her name is Mashonda. And I was like, MASH.
Was it an online magazine?
Yes.
I know her. I think I did something for her magazine before.
Oh, great. She had one hard copy and two, like, online or something.
I want to say it's been such a long time ago, though. Back when my
It has been a while.
Yeah. I think I did something for her magazine.
Well, yeah, we're about to get it popping again, and we're going to make it amazing.
Nice.
Look at God.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. There you go.
I mean, we're all about to. Next time y'all come to L.A., the five of us collaborate, and maybe we can, you know, we can all contribute to something towards her magazine or something else, another project.
Yeah, sounds great.
For sure.
I see reality TV in our future. So y'all just drop God a line in your prayer.
Wait, say that again.
I see reality TV in our future.
Okay.
So, you know, when I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, you know, make sure you drop our names in your kitty.
Well, speaking of reality TV, let me ask you all your thoughts on how makeup artists and hairstylists and wardrobe stylists are presented on reality shows. What are your thoughts about it? I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, and then there's a lot of not so good ones out there. What do you think about it?
I think you definitely are who you are, and television magnifies some of your better qualities or magnifies your not-so-good qualities. So I think you just have to be in control of your image, and you can. I think that we sometimes have to do a better job of how we're portrayed in the media, whether it's, our three different careers or just those of the people who are actually the reality personnel.
Right. Do you think some of these shows, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you also have to watch sometimes how they edit you, because I worked on plenty, which everyone probably has worked on plenty of reality shows, and what you see is not what you see on TV.
Right. Right. Because that was going to be my question was, do you think sometimes, because sometimes I think people go into it and they want to present themselves how they really are. And pretty much you see how some people really are. But then there are some things that people will do or they'll edit it to make it look a certain way that's not really you or not really what you wanted the world to see. Do you think sometimes people go into these shows and they kind of just go ahead on and accept what the producer wants just to actually be on TV and have a reality show and get the check?
I think they I think that's kind of what happened with R&B Divas of Atlanta. There, you know, some of those cast members felt like, well, that's not how I wanted to be portrayed. That's what the editors did or the producers did. But it's like, well, they could only use what you brought to the table, you know, whether they edit it in a good way or a bad way. It's kind of like court. Anything you can, anything you say or do will be used, not can be. Will be, and it won't necessarily be in a positive light. So you just have to remember that. And I know it's hard when, you know, the cameras are there 24/7 and you're just kind of living your regular life, but you just have to be cognizant of it because you know what you're signing up for when you sign up. It's
right.
Not like it's
That's
the pilot, true. The pilot season of all reality shows. No, we some years in now.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I want you all to do, since the show is just about 3 minutes from being over, I want each of you to tell our listening audience.
Already.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But if you could tell our listening audience what beauty is to each of you. Come on, Chris, why don't you start first?
I believe that beauty is the essence of all that God has made you on the inside, and there are folks like us that help bring it to the outside.
That's it.
I think beauty is, you know, bathing in your commitment to the work, being clothed in preparation and focus, and walking in shoes of service and humility. Stay beautiful, people.
And I believe beauty starts from the inside out. If you have an ugly inside, you're going to have an ugly outside, regardless of what people may, you know, it could be the most gorgeous woman in the world, but if she's ugly on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. So start your beauty within, and it will manifest on the outside.
Right. And I want you all to, and I know you're new to this, Monique Lorraine, but I want you all to, like, shout out your Facebook, Instagram, all your social media outlets so people know how to follow you.
I'm Dee Dee Kelly everything. Dee Dee Kelly Facebook, Dee Dee Kelly Twitter, and unfortunately it's Dee Dee _ Kelly on Instagram because somebody stole me.
Mine is Chris, at Chris Cheese on everything as well, at Chris Cheese, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website, ChrisCheese.com, email, ChrisCheese@ChrisCheese.com. Just Chris Cheese. It's a brand, baby.
And DeeDeeKelly.com. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I'm a newbie to social media, so I am Monique L. Peters on Twitter, Monique Lorraine Peters on Facebook, and I am Monique Lorraine on Instagram.
You did good with remembering it all, though.
That's because Dee Dee made me write it all.
She made you write it down.
She did.
Yes, follow, 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 people. We will follow back.
Okay, before we go off, though, I want you all to kind of share with the audience. Tell me a little bit about the Last Looks event the other night.
It was such a blessed spiritual, like the room was filled with people that was filled from what we said, and we got filled from the response that they were giving us. It was amazing.
We were all so inspired. There were such amazing artists in that room, people who'd been in the business a while, people who were just starting out, and we were just grateful for the opportunity that they came in to listen to us and that they could be inspired by us. We were truly inspired when we walked out of there. Team being blessed with Last Looks.
See, that's the great thing about it. You come in thinking you're going to inspire and get inspired yourself. That's
absolutely
when you know it's good.
Yep.
That's when you know it's good. Any last-minute thoughts or things anybody wanted to say that we didn't cover tonight?
I think we did a really great job kind of everything else. We just want you guys to walk away with knowing that if you study your craft and you're committed to what it is you're supposed to do, your destiny has already been predetermined for you and preset out. So just really, really walk fully in the destiny that God has already placed on your life. You can do it.
Yep. Right. And if you have, if anybody has questions or comments, feel free to tweet us.
That's right. You just gave out there how to get reach them. So send them questions and comments. We're going to be chatting for a few more minutes on the Beauty Talk Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/beautytalkonline. If you all have time to join us, you can feel free to do so and get you get some more questions answered over there. But we thank you again for joining us. We really do appreciate you guys taking the time. Just continue to keep your heads up and walk in the direction that you're going. I know you guys will continue to be blessed, but I know you'll continue to be a blessing to others. Just listening to this conversation, I know that you all have a lot that you can share with other artists. So keep being an inspiration.
Thank
you. And anytime you want us back, just give us a call because we will come back for you guys.
Thank you so much. Trust
me,
give us a few more months, and I'm sure we'll have something to have you guys back on for. That's for sure.
What's the Facebook page again?
Oh, it's Beauty Talk Online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Again, thank you guys. And for those of you who are out there listening, if you like tonight's show, please go out and mark it as a favor here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, join us on Facebook if you have a few minutes. But if not, join us again next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be here. Continue to be beautiful and blessed. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.